All right, here we are with episode 98 of the Florida Trail Runners Podcast, and we are finally talking about the J.W. Corbett. Last year, we chatted about the 50 mile, so this year, we are chatting about the 50K. And on the chat, we've got Chris Stevens, Brenda Lips, and Mark Kudek. And this group did amazing. You know, Chris Stevens, he came in first overall, and he was followed up by second overall, Brenda, and she was also your first lady to cross that finish line. And then Mark Kudek came across that finish line to take third overall and second for the men. It was awesome. And hey, with that, let's kick it off with some stories from the J.W. Corbett, the 50K.
Hello?
Hey! Oof. Hey, Mark.
Hola! Mis amigos.
Oh, there's Mr. Kudek.
How are you guys?
Good.
Prepping dinner and getting laughed at by my kids.
Well, it's because you hit the big time, kid. You're a rock star.
We're going to go there already? Just please, I can't. All right, I'm going to go outside. I'm going to go sit in my car if you don't stop laughing. No, enough. Seriously, I'm going in the garage.
On the computer to make a charge.
She's going into her panic room.
It's not funny. This is my life. Welcome.
Hey, hello.
Hey,
Chris. How's it going? I think it's working now.
Yep.
There we go.
Sounds like your puppy's feeling better too.
She is. Yes. Thankfully. Thanks for asking and thanks for putting Good. Up with that.
Oh, no worries. There are kids.
Oh, this is going to be fun, and I'm so looking forward to talking about this race. This was fun.
It was a great
this
race.
This was oh my gosh, this was a blast. Better than I expected.
I would say that out of the, I think it was my fourth Corbett. That was easily the most fun. That was a lot of fun. We had a great time.
And I'm sure, I know we didn't have a lot of water, but I can imagine it still would be a lot of fun. If you had the right attitude going into it, even with the water.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was expecting kind of the worst. So, of course, you know, it was so beautiful and definitely more shade than I was expecting.
Yeah.
Except for that last hour or so.
Well, I know it's been a while since Corbett, but hey, how are you guys feeling?
Feeling real good.
Feeling great.
I was feeling good till I ran the dunes this weekend.
Oh, that's right. I just saw the results. Great job there.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, it was. I was definitely not. I don't think I was recovered. I was kind of hanging on to, you know, chasing third till about halfway through. And then I hit the dunes and I was like, nope, my legs are tired still. But it was fun. You know, I've never done that race before. And, you know, in all these years, I just haven't gotten out there. And that that course takes you to some other trails, you know, and I've been all over Jonathan Dickinson for decades, but took, you know, to some of the white and blue trails that I've never been on. So that was pretty cool too.
Oh, wow. It looked pretty from the videos that I saw. It was really amazing.
Yeah. He's got a great, if it's the same 50K that he's been using all these years, it's a really great course. Especially with those dunes, the dunes of hell section.
Yeah.
That just really messes you up good.
Yeah.
And it's those dunes make the height of the sand spur dunes, like, you realize that the elevation, well, you have the constant elevation change there, but the height of some of those dunes of hell are just really something else.
Yeah, steep. I mean, just like straight up. I was like, holy smokes, I didn't even know these were here.
Yeah.
It's a lot of it super runnable. The whole park, you know, everything that I saw was completely bone dry, just like Corbett was.
Yeah.
So it's a really fun course, you know. And I mean, I think Johnny Parker won it in like 4:15 or something like that.
Yeah.
Crazy,
yeah.
Crazy
That's
fast.
So fast.
He's quick.
I was like, yeah, right. Because I ran like 15 minutes faster than I ran at Corbett. So I was like, I was, you know, super happy with my time, you know.
Yeah.
For me, that's great. But yeah, when they finally published the results yesterday, I think it was, I looked and I was like, oh yeah, yeah, no thanks, that's a little too rich for my blood.
Okay.
And that's the funny thing, like, Chris, you've already you've already raced since the Corbett race, but, you know, I guess we should probably do some introductions. You know, what's that running background?
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, I mean, I've been doing, you know, ultras for, I don't know, decades now. I'm older. I think everyone here is a little bit older, but, I started doing like adventure racing. I was a bike guy way back in the day, you know, back in my 20s and whatnot, mountain biking. I did all the Gone Riding series down here at all the parks and whatnot. And then I transitioned into adventure racing, and I did a bunch of adventure racing. And then I had a period where I was pretty unhealthy for a while in my life. And then after that, you know, coming back from that, I started doing triathlons. I wanted to do something different. So that was about probably 16, 17 years ago, and started off doing sprints and then Olympic distance. And then I did 6 half Ironmans and finally did the Ironman. And I was such a terrible swimmer. I did Ironman Louisville in like 2014, I think. And I haven't swam since. So during that process, I was like, oh, well, I ran a marathon. And I was like, well, let me try this ultra marathon thing. And that's how I kind of got into to doing ultra marathons. I transitioned over from there and never really looked back, you know. So a little bit of road stuff here and there. I've done some loop course stuff, some short course stuff, the Icarus races, point to point stuff. I've done the skydive races, Corbett Lake to Ocean, Miami, Lewis Coco's races. I've done all those. The Keys 100, Vol State. So pretty, pretty diverse, as far as courses go, point to point, cross state, short course, trails, a little bit of running. Got a bunch of Spartan races, OCR background as well. I did OCRs for, 5 or 6 years. So that's kind of a little, pretty diverse. I've kind of landed mostly trail stuff now, which I find a little bit more appealing than the road stuff.
I'll step in. I've been running since middle school, cross country and track, ran all through high school, I guess somewhat competitively. I had a coach that really got me into the whole culture of running, my coach Tim, who we're still in touch to this day, and gets a kick out of, what I'm doing. And it's wonderful to keep sharing all those things, because I always say that he's the one that got me into all this. I mean, we're talking, I guess now over 30 years ago, we were doing, playing Frisbee before runs and, running at golf courses with all ages group all throughout the summer. So ultra definitely appeals to me because it feels like being a kid again, running with those groups and these great people. But I did the same thing where I got into after college and whatnot, and settling down and picked up running again in my 20s, did the whole road running thing, a marathon here or there. And then, of course, got injured and took the route of triathlon like everybody else seems to. And really loved triathlon for a few years. And came back to running again after the kiddos. And I found that that was a lot of fun, but, it was getting kind of boring running on A1A. I mean, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, but the road gets really hard once you turn 40. And my first ultra was at Krumzoom in 2021. So this would be completion of my second year of ultra running. And I don't think I could really ever look back. I did do a marathon recently to try to qualify for Boston. And, so that's something that I always wanted to do and experience. But I really love running these trails. It's just been so beautiful and so much easier on the body than running pavement. I do train probably 80% on pavement still, but on the weekends, if I can get out to any kind of trail, I just savor that. Love running with this group. The ultra community is just a really special group of people. So that's part of it too. But yeah, this is my second year of ultra running and trail running, and I've just fallen in love with it. I think every race is so unique, and it doesn't matter if you're doing a 50K, if you're doing it on a different course, it's just a completely different experience. I think that's what I love the most about it, that every race is so unique. I feel like just in the last 2 years alone, doing Mikey B's Ridge and Trident, doing long haul, doing something like Corbett, doing even Vista View. I mean, these are just, such great races and different terrain, different challenges. I like that each one of these races offers a heat challenge or the sand challenge or, you know, hills. And of course, now with Corbett and Lake to Ocean, I just think that's just so exciting. The idea of that trail is just gorgeous. And I kind of understand now what everybody has been talking about, that ocean to lake trail is something really, really beautiful. I think everybody should experience it.
So I started, my first actual ultra was the Lake to Ocean race in 2014. So next year, I'll be going back for the 10-year anniversary. This year, however, I am crewing the one and only Brenda, and looking forward to that because
nice.
She's just a monster, man. But the funny thing is that when I take Brenda out to these, like to the trails and stuff like that, she didn't add this. She was all serious, but I'm going to tell you, she's like a little kid looking around like, look at this. Oh my God, that's so beautiful. What is that? And it's just like it going out with somebody that has that level of enthusiasm onto these trails, like rekindles my own enthusiasm for them. And so that's a big fun thing that, you know, that I've found. I'm training for a total pavement 100 miler in New York in June. So it is, you know, not in my best interest at this point to be running around too much on trails, but I still like to get out there and dig into it a little bit. But I love the Lake to ocean to lake, whatever you want to call it, trail. It is beautiful. You do pass through every biome that Florida has to offer. And, you know, I love it out there.
Yeah, what is that called? The Great New York Expedition or something?
Yeah, it's TGNY. It's the Great New York Running Exposition.
Exposition.
Yeah, Phil McCarthy's the race director, and man, he is one interesting cat. Not only is he a race director and a classically trained opera singer, but he's also now a mailman, and he just keeps putting on these different hats. But he is just such a unique guy, and the first time I did it, I attempted it. I ended up hurting myself. I had to leave the race at 51 miles. But at the start, there were, let's see, who was it? It was Mike Wardian was there. Super nice guy, and just, you know, ended up running into Central Park with him and then watched him just kind of disappear into the distance, which was, you know, pretty cool. And I hurt myself. Perfect timing. I actually got back to the start finish just in time to see him finish. So, you know, it really worked out well for me that day anyway. But great race. If you ever get up, if you ever wanted to see a unique perspective of New York, really get fly to TGNY 100. And he's got a lottery every year. Great race. I love it. I'm going for the completion this year, provided that I am in one piece when I get there.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. That was a huge inspiration for the Tampa Bay 100.
Yeah, you guys have a really cool, I'm so excited about that race. I mean, I'm not going to be racing it this year, but you know, I'll be there volunteering. I am really, really excited to see that race and hear and see what Laura's come up with. And she's amazing with her tours and just really cool stuff, man.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, coming into races, this is the JW Corbett, you know, what brought you out to JW Corbett? And obviously for some of y'all, what brings you back?
I guess I can jump in. For me personally, since I'm signed up for Lake to Ocean, I thought it would be a great way to experience part of the trail. And I've always heard that Corbett was a monster. And, you know, some of the toughest part of the trail of that race, of that 100K, is Corbett. Of course, again, we didn't have the water that's usually there, but I wanted to get a taste of it, and it was just, it did not disappoint. It was just so beautiful, and it was so rough. You know, you have the cypress roots and everything. That's the reason why I wanted to really get some training in for Lake to Ocean, but I really didn't realize how beautiful this course was. I've just heard that it was tough and one of the hardest races out there, especially with the heat and the exposure. But I loved it. I thought it was beautiful. So I was so happy that I did that. That was a really nice surprise.
Brenda, you actually did get a taste of Corbett, didn't you? Speaking of cypress knees.
Oh, my God.
I think everyone did.
At one point, I had taken
she was epic.
Swig from my handheld. I'm like, oh, I just swallowed all this dirt. Is there dirt on my face? Mark turned around. He was like, oh, my God. I think we saw Michael Straczynski at the turnaround, and Andrea and Jeff were out there, and they just looked at me like, have you been falling? Yes, but I didn't get hurt too badly. I think at one point, Mark said, well, this is, we've now entered the Thunderdome, and then all of a sudden, wham.
Yeah, seconds after I said we entered the Thunderdome, I went down too. It was like ridiculous. This is why they call it the Thunderdome.
Yeah.
Yeah, Corbett's rough, you know. It's I went down three times and hard too. You know, I was running with Eddie Souza and Nathan Gehring, a little bit shy of the first half. And Nathan had dropped back to go to the bathroom, I think. And Eddie was right behind me, and I was trying to eat a bar and keep up this pace with those guys. And man, I went down hard, and Eddie was like, oh shit, are you all right? And I was like, I don't think so. No, man, that was terrible. So boy, I came out of that race, I was all busted up for sure. But, you know, Corbett, for me, you know, like everyone was saying, the Lake to Ocean race or the Lake to Ocean trail is just, it's magical, you know, and once you start spending some time out there, I mean, it's, you know, anyone that's been out there, you know, or on the Florida trail system, you know, you go out there and you don't see a single person, you know, for all day. And, you know, for me, that's kind of the beauty of being out there. It's just, it's pristine, you know, and you get a little taste of what Florida used to be like way back when. And it's, you know, and you know, so I'm a local racer too. You know, I really like to support the local group there. Jeff Stevens has done, you know, all that stuff with the Lake to Ocean and Corbett, and, you know, Leo taking it over now. And, you know, like Brenda was saying too, boy, it's just a really great local group of people. And, you know, so to be out there on those trails, I'm also trying to get that stupid lollipop thing done at some point in time. Usually third time's a charm for me. It took me, the Just Survive 125 took me three tries. And I told Jeff, I said, well, it's either going to be third time's a charm or three strikes and I'm out. One of the two. And, so I've had two attempts at the lollipop. I've made it to Pahokee each time, so 70-ish miles. And the last time I forgot my money pouch at the Nina trailhead, and I got about, you know, another 3 miles down the levee and realized I'd forgotten all my money, and I was like, oh man. So I had to turn around, go back. So it was 6 extra miles, and boy, it was just it's brutal. But so that's kind of some of that trail is that for me, you know. I've been thinking about doing that for a number of years, you know. And then Jeff Stevens again, you know, he kind of spurred that whole thing on with the adding it to the FKT page. And so I'll have another crack at that probably this winter. And you know, what Brenda was saying there, just doing smaller portions of that race, of that trail rather, you know, with the Corbett race is a great way to, you know, to get out there and get a little piece of that action as well.
You guys are amazing attempting that lollipop. I think anybody that even toes up for that, I mean, that's incredible. I mean, I followed Michael's attempts and followed Andy doing it. I mean, it's just really something exciting to see all our local runners take on this challenge. I mean, of course, you know, I find myself daydreaming myself, I have to admit, about, I told the kids, you know, I'm turning 50 this year and I feel like I'm on the brink of doing something really crazy. So it does creep in there, and I always find myself with Google Earth at work. It's always on my computer somewhere.
But, that's how it begins. That's how it begins.
I'm telling you. I'm like, oh, I think I could see a blaze from here. That's a blaze. But you guys are amazing. It's really great to see just taking on. I love that it's just like, it's not a race. It's just somebody taking on this challenge on their own, and, you know, with or without support.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, and Corbett is definitely the gateway drug for that thing.
Oh my God,
that is a good sampler platter.
You know something about Corbett that's like, especially when I found that something that makes that course difficult is, I find, since, you know, once you hit over 45, if you take a bad fall, I mean, you get a 50% chance that you're not getting back up for that race. And I was so, you know, I went down, and for a second I'm like, okay, let's see how bad was the damage. But I find over time that, you know, at first after the first two falls, it was like, oh no, okay, I'm all right. My knee's okay. My back's okay. Nothing's locked up. But then, I mean, I think Mark went down two times as well, hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'll start to feel it about, you know, a half hour, an hour later, all of a sudden you're like, ooh, you know, my hip's starting to get tight, or my hamstring from, you know, trying to stop yourself from falling, your muscles tense up. I think probably that's also another reason why Corbett is so hard, because, you know, you're recovering from those falls. And, you know, I'm not 25 anymore. I can't just jump back up. And I'm sure everybody feels the same way, that you literally get beat up on that course if you go down. So that's like a big part of, I think I mentioned on there, like, I was getting better as the race went on, spotting blazes and also looking down at the trail so I wouldn't fall. Like, you get into a funny little rhythm and then bam, I mean, before you know it, you're like at mile 22 and you're like, man, I only have, you know, eight plus miles of this thing left. So I would say that that's like a definitely a big reason that I assume Corbett a monster, because it does definitely beat you up. And even if your muscles are not sore from the distance, one of those cypress knees, you know, you take that to your side and forget it.
Yeah, I always call Corbett a brawler, because I definitely feel like I've been in a fight when I go out there, whether I fall or not, whether it's wet or not. I mean, in a wet year, it's difficult lifting your feet and everything like that. And in a dry year, you realize that it becomes this hard, compact stuff that there's not one level spot to put your foot down in that entire area. Yeah. So you're trying to, every step that you take, you're adjusting and, you know, getting through it. And then, you know, just as an added bonus, we're going to throw these little tiny cypress knees in here, and just, you know, really, you can catch one in the arch of your foot or whack your toe on it. And, yeah, Corbett's a brawler. It beats you up. And, but I think we kind of like that, about it. I don't think you know, I remember they had it it was so badly flooded in Corbett one year that they had the race over in Dupuy, and we were running around this trail, and, you know, no disrespect to Dupuy, it's its own monster, but it was really kind of you know, vanilla. It wasn't Corbett. It wasn't that, and I was signed up for the 50 mile that year, and at 50K I just stopped running. Christian Stewart was in charge of it at the time, and I walked over to him and I said I'm done. He's like, what's the matter? I said, this is like running on somebody's lawn compared to Corbett. It's not the fight I was looking for. And honestly, that was how I felt that day. I think that I know that it's up in the air as far as the toughest part of Lake to Ocean course, but it definitely, Corbett is a mean one. Lock Slough is nothing to sleep at. That's not a wheel you want to fall asleep at either.
Yeah.
You know, that can be a real tough one too. But, you know, wet or dry, it doesn't matter. That trail always offers a challenge. So that's why I always love running out there.
Yeah, you bring up a good point, because last year I covered the 50 miler, and then you got the 50 miler, the 50K, and the 18 miler. How did you end up choosing the 50K?
Laziness.
Yeah, I was
on my part. I just
fear.
I've gotten much smarter in my old age.
Well, you know, I think Nathan said the same thing. He was at the, you know, when I had finished, he's like, why don't I just do the 50K? I think the 50K is like still considered maybe a blast. You can have a lot of great time out there, but I cannot imagine. I was thinking about that. I'm like, well, damn, maybe I should have, like, you know, just gotten back out there. But that's like at least another 5 hours of run, or 4 or 5 hours mm-hmm. of running. And, you know, to get back to that point, to the start, and then have to go back out and do another 20 miles, that's got to be, and the hottest part of the day, that's got to be tough. I you know, maybe next year, I don't know, but I definitely didn't think I was ready to take that on this year.
But no, I tell you, I think that's what makes the 50 miler probably one of the toughest 50 milers around, is the turn. Because I did it last year, and Bjorn, Bjorn and I were running together, and we came in, and I was still dealing with some plantar fasciitis then, the tail end of that, so my foot was just a mess. But even if it wasn't, I was like, no, there's no way. And so we both came through, and Jeff looks at both of us, and we both looked at each other, and we were both like, yeah, no, man, we're not going back out. And so this year when I signed up, I was very, very well aware of that. And I was like, nope, I'm going to do the 50K, and I'm going to be super happy that when I get back, that's going to be that.
Start to celebrate right away.
Yeah, 100%, you know.
Yeah, my training plan actually called for a 50K race, so I started looking, not even realizing that that was Corbett weekend. And I was like, oh, 50K, Corbett.
Perfect.
This is a no-brainer. And then I wasn't even considering going back out for the 50 miler because it was my birthday and there were cupcakes there, and I just was not going to miss out on that.
Not that anybody could eat them from this group.
No, we didn't.
Hot.
Oh, I totally ate one of those cupcakes.
Did you manage to?
Oh yeah, man. I was like, I'm not afraid. Yep.
I had to bring most of them home, and I had to sit and look at them all night. I'm like, oh, now I've got to eat all these cupcakes with my kids. But yeah,
that was perfect. Yeah. I've been on a no refined sugar diet since the beginning of the year. So when I saw those, I was like, man, I'm all over that.
Nice. Yeah.
That was perfect.
That was some good stuff.
Yeah, that was great. There was tons of wildlife out there too. I have to say, at one point coming back, it was so quiet and there was just, you know, deer on the course, and I got to see my first big alligator out there. Nice. Mark had pointed out to me, I'm like, oh my god, is that the one that they say? But I think there's a larger one out in Dupuis that everybody talks about. But I have to say that also, for me doing Corbett, I crewed Amy Colombo last year for Lake to Ocean, and that just blew my mind. Actually, I had so much fun crewing her. She did so amazing. It was her first time doing the course. And you guys know there was tons of water on the course, of course. And just driving, you know, to the crew stops, I got lost a couple times. Leo would see me like posting on Facebook. He's like, where the hell are you? You're not supposed to be there. So I got so nervous seeing all that water and these runners coming through fearlessly through this water. Then I'm like, I don't know if I could do that. And, you know, they were talking about, you know, seeing you had water moccasins out there and you had gators out there and all kinds of things. And so I have a little bit of fear going into Lake to Ocean. This weekend or the past weekend, I had done my first solo water crossing. And that was a big deal for me because it's like, you know, often, you know, you can't see what you're getting into. And I've watched enough videos now on YouTube to see these guys going through water waist high. I've seen Eddie going through water that he said that was like over their head. They had to swim during the really, really wet years. And yeah. I don't know if I can do that. So there's a little bit of uncertainty there. And I was kind of hoping maybe for a little bit more water just so I could get used to it and be okay with it and somewhat comfortable. I know everything kind of changes when you're in a race situation and all of a sudden you have this adrenaline kind of pushing you through. That's not there when you're training alone and you're like, what am I doing? But but you know, Leo's really great too. You know, I've texted with him as well. And just, you know, I mean, he's another one. It's like, all these guys, they just love that trail, love being out there. And it's definitely something that you want to try. You know, you want to see what everybody's talking about. I think Mark was the first one to ever say, you got to do Lake to Ocean. And I'm like, I don't know. That looks like a really, really tough challenge. But ever since crewing Amy last year, I never stopped thinking about it. And yeah, so I think it was like one of those nights where you're up and you're like all of a sudden find yourself hitting register and your credit card information. And I can't believe I just did that. But yeah, that's going to be interesting this year. And I definitely think Corbett's a huge part of that. That's for sure.
Yeah, so kind of with that, you know, because, you know, I've done Lake to Ocean as well. But, of course, for me, you know, I DNF shortly thereafter Corbett at the B-line. But for those who haven't been out to the JW Corbett race, you know, what's it actually like out there? Because I know you've already mentioned the Cypress Knees or Knots or whatever they're called.
Mm-hmm. It's a really just a mix of salt palmetto plants, pine roots, cypress domes, and the trail is really, while there are some parts of it where you can actually run side by side with somebody, most of the trail is very much single track, and you really have to, if somebody's coming towards you, you have to kind of give trail to them. And it's also very twisty through there. So in some of those cypress dome areas, you're like, you'll run maybe 8 or 10 feet and have to do a 90 degree turn and, you know, and then make another 90 degree turn. And then, you know, and it's tricky. If you're not watching your footing and watching the blazes at the same time, then you're going to either wipe out or you're going to get turned around and get lost. It just happens quick. But yeah, no, it's beautiful out there. And it's challenging. You know, you really have to watch what you're doing because you cannot, you know. And at one point, Brenda and I, when we were heading out to, I think we were probably, what, maybe 2 miles or so from the turnaround. We looked up and we saw Chris running around on the, yeah, over yeah. on the Jeep road. And he's like, oh, there it is. He got back on the trail because you could be 10 feet from the trail and not see it. It's just it's crazy.
You know, the funny thing about that is that exact same spot, I did the exact same thing on the first year that I ran it.
Oh, I do it. I do it all the time.
Yeah, no, we did it on the way back, too.
Yeah, we did it on the way back.
Same spot. I'm like, yeah, where the hell is that trail just point?
Yeah, it veers to the left right there. You know what I mean? And it's just that's your natural flow is just to go that way. And then you're on the road and you're like, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to be on the road. You know, one of the things, too, about Corbett is this year, because it has been so dry, I think they were able to get out there and do a bit more trail maintenance than usual. Cause it was in really, really good shape. So they had done some cutting, some better marking as well. So the blazes were in really good shape. When it's a bit more wet, it gets a lot more grown in that interior section. And, you get years where they just don't get into that middle section there. And then typically when you got more water as well, they're out there in the swamp buggies as well a bit more. So you're not getting that you're not getting that mix of swamp buggies and mud and grass, which really even turns it up even more.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, there's, you know, a couple years back for the Lake to Ocean, the Just Survive race, it was so bad in that middle section that it was 3 feet deep and you were just turning your ankles left and right and it can get really, really nasty. And that's another part of Corbett that, you know, it gets torn up with the swamp buggy sometimes, depending on, you know, the conditions and whatnot. And that can completely change the nature of that trail as well.
Yeah.
What does the water do to your legs? Because I didn't want to say anything. I was a little worried because that took me a full week to recover from that course and just probably longer, honestly. My quads just felt so tight and heavy. And I'm just wondering with the added water, I mean, that's gotta be the thing that slows you down. Your legs just get so tight pushing through.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I mean, it's resistance, you know, just throw on an extra added layer of resistance training basically.
Yeah.
So if you're going through an area that's, you know, thigh deep or whatever, you're pushing through all that. So if you're trying to push through hard and fast, I mean, you'll just get muscle cramps just from doing that. And then, you know, trying to get through the mud, your feet are getting stuck in the mud and all that good stuff as well. And then, you know, if you get out of the wet, and you're in a dry section, now your feet are wet and they weigh, you know, an extra pound each or however much it is with the water and the mud and the dirt and everything else. So, yeah, you know, I mean, you can add on an extra, I don't know, whatever they say it is, 15 to 18% effort with mud and water, you know, to what it would be if it's dry.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that you just really can't, once it gets over, once it gets, I would say about 6 inches, really, like, you know, about mid shin. You really can't run it in anymore because, you know, you go to push your foot down and it kind of, it floats to the side almost like hydroplanes a little bit.
Yep.
Exactly. So you really can't, you can't run too much through there and you can't push. And then we have, the one thing we haven't really talked about with Corbett is that the lake section, which usually is full of water. And this year you didn't even get muddy.
You know who runs great through water too and who's always out there is Alberto. I followed behind him in November on the 10-miler for the DTR run, the night run. Now, that was great because it was 10 miles. There was tons of water on the course. And I didn't even realize it was Al at first. But he was running so well through that water. And he kept telling me, you got to splash. And I was like, gosh, how do you like get a momentum going? And just, you know, but it really, really tired me, just the 10 miles. But there are definitely people that you could see that have developed a skill running through water. Probably Maria's also, and Eddie and all those guys and John. They just, you know, run so well through the water. But I don't, you know, I know I listened to a podcast where Andy Barrett said that he had even done some beach running. So where he's running kind of through the ocean, you know, through the breakers a little bit to kind of get used to that relentless kind of the waves and the pounding and the water. Because really, I mean, where else can you train for something like that? The soft sand is a completely different thing, you know?
Yeah, that's great advice from Andy there. You know, I do that too. You go down and run, you know, run mid-calf deep in the on the beach, and then come out of the water, come up into the soft stuff so that your feet are getting heavy and wet, and then clogged, you know, clumped up with sand, and do that for, you know, a quarter or a half a mile, then get back into the water again, spend some time in the water. And yet, you know, go different levels, go from ankle deep to knee deep, all the way up to thigh deep, and then just walk, you know, walk in the thigh deep water, because you'll find that will help you out if you're going to do lake to ocean. And if it's a wet year, boy, there's a lot of water to be pushing through. So that's great. And I mean, Andy, if anyone knows, it's Andy, man. I think he's got more buoys than about all of us combined, you know, so.
Yeah. That's going to be tough, and that's got to be mentally exhausting too. Like, I always hear the guys finishing up either through Corbett or even Lake Toshin, like they just want to be done with the water, you know.
Yep.
Just, I don't want to see any more water.
Yeah.
So that's got to be exhausting.
Water and spiders.
Oh no. Spiders, wait.
Always let someone go in front of you. You know, the spiders are always worse at night. I tell you, when the year that I finished Just Survive was because Andy was in front of me, and I had finally just said to myself, "Look, I'm gonna be behind somebody the entire time," and so he finished up. He was sleeping in his Jeep at the beach, and he got up and came out, and I said, "Man, I said I think I saw like two spiders the whole way." So I really appreciate everything that you did for me. And he looked at me and he said, I think I ate about 500 of them. They're awful, man. They're terrible. And I hate spiders. I'm allergic to everything bugs. And so if I get stung or bit by anything, I just blow up. So me and spiders don't get along very well.
Oh, gosh. Well, there's something new there.
So in the morning, Brenda, on the lake to ocean, let somebody else go in front of you.
There'll be plenty.
Yeah. someone that's taller than you. Make sure you don't let a short person go in front of you.
Yeah, at least I'm sure there's going to be enough people that have done it. I'm this is my rookie year, so I know, I don't know if the usual suspects will be there, but I'm sure I won't be among the first. Yeah.
No,
I've seen you guys. Mark ran the New Year's run. with a, you know, he led the way, and he had a palm frond up, holding up it like a chair. It was great. He just had it running, you know, through these trails and just running through these webs. It was crazy.
Yep.
But I've seen that. That's got to be annoying as hell. I don't know if you can wear a net. I think I saw Melinda wearing some kind of bug net out there in Everglades. And I was wondering, God, I wonder if that helps. It's got to help with the spiders. But it's still got to be annoying.
Oh, those deer flies will bite right through that net. They're not afraid of a net or a shirt or anything, those guys.
Oh, but wait, but you know who? I think that was Amy Matthews that gave us the great tip, right?
Oh, yeah.
Use the catnip spray?
The catnip spray, yep.
This seemed to work because I don't think we had a bite between us, right?
Nope.
Yeah, nope. We were okay.
The last two times we at Corbett, we tried it, and then I had it last weekend, and no fly bites. So yeah,
there
you go. The big tip of the day: catnip spray works.
Yeah.
Granted, you have the bobcats following you around after that, but you know there are worse things than stone bobcats.
Yeah, I can take a bobcat.
Yeah, because that, you know, that's always the thing with, you know, JW Corbett is you got the bugs sometimes, and then usually on a normal year you've got the water. So I guess, you know, I know last year it wasn't very long until everybody hit water. So I guess take me into those early miles, you know, those first 10 miles. How'd those early miles go down?
For this year, it was, you know, easy peasy. But literally that lake that I was talking about earlier, I don't know, I think it got cut off, but that lake in Corbett, you hit that within, I think, like the first 2 miles or so. It's really... it's there. It's, you know, and that's a lot of water to cross. And so you're, you know, you get wet and then you end up going through the pine barrens for a little bit. But, you know, once you get into like, what they call the Thunderdome with all the cypress trees and stuff like that, that's usually at least ankle deep. You know, I've never like, and there's a couple of sections after the grade road that you hit a lot of water on. But you do, you hit water pretty much, you know, 2 miles in and then, you know, sporadically for the entire time, depending on the year.
Well, I did see some water this year, actually, in the form of goo trickling down my back because the ladder decided to burst in the first mile of the of that race.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was pretty, that actually was pretty disgusting, but it got to a point and then I didn't lose any more liquid, but that was the only water that I pretty much saw.
Yeah, that's about as dry as I've ever seen Corbett. I don't think I've ever, you know, when you say, oh, there was no water. I mean, that was literally not any of the ponds at all had any water in them whatsoever. So that's, you know, about as dry and as fast as I've ever seen that trail. So it's kind of amazing, you know, and even after, I think it was the following week after that, you know, where it just rained and rained and rained and it's still dry, you know, ground was so dry that it soaked up all that water out there as well. So,
those first big water crossings, what everybody says, I think Leo had mentioned, he's like, you come to the water crossing. I remember seeing pictures of it. It's just kind of a wide area, looks like. I mean, it's not just like the trail where it's a channel. It looks like, you know, you're running through a pond.
Yeah. That whole, you know, it's all just grass off to the side. And then, you know, the actual trail is, you know, a double Jeep track width. That you're actually navigating through, but all off to the side is just all grass, and it's usually, you know, on a typically dry year, like thigh deep, and then on a wet year, it's waist deep. I mean, it's all the way across. Wow. So that's like, I mean, what is that, 100 yards, Mark, something like that?
Easily.
Good. Oh my gosh.
That's the biggest. The biggest is probably 100 meters of pure water. And then you've got a couple of little, you know, pockets just before you hit that. You know, there, I remember when I first saw that, I'm like, wow, I went back to the dry trail and I sat there looking at it for a minute and I kind of looked to see if there was a way that I could bushwhack around it, but it's unavoidable, man. You're getting wet in that section. That's it.
How did that affect your times? I was curious thinking about that. Was this a faster year for both of you, or the water's got to slow you down, I imagine, you know?
Yeah. So I did it. I did the 50K in like 2019, I think. Mm-hmm. And it was a pretty wet year. I wasn't running super fast that year. It was kind of a chill year for me. And I finished in like 6:50.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, huge difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I would agree with that. I ended up, that was actually, Corbett was my first DNF too. That's right. I ended up DNFing at an aid station. Susan Anger was there working the aid station. And it just so happened that Salchak was there, and he was able to give me a ride back from the from that aid station at the grade road, because my ankle was like four times the size of what it was supposed to be. And that was so there was no finish for me there that year. I think that was the first year I actually ran Corbett. The second time was I finished in the mid sixes, and I was actually in really good shape when I finished in the mid sixes. That was a good year. And then there was the year that I just kind of sat out when I just got bored running the 50 and Dupuy, you know, that wasn't actually Corbett. So, you know, it definitely was, I think it was my best time out there, honestly, this year.
Oh, that was fun running with you too. It's fun. It really, as a rookie, it is so much fun running with somebody like Mark that, you know, he's got this experience out there, and, you know, I kept saying, you know, I think I followed him out there pretty much and set the pace. We ended up running once we got settled. We're running with some 18 milers out there, and they were moving. I'm thinking to myself, oh boy, you know, we're moving a lot faster than I had, you know, wanted to for this race overall. But we both felt good. We were talking the whole way. We were kind of cracking jokes with everyone, so that was a lot of fun. I mean, and then, you know, it seemed like, for me, just a newcomer to this course, it seemed like there were two separate, courses. You know, you're running through the pines, and it seems like you do like a crossover of all this, you know, kind of soft sand and probably which usually creaks. And then, like you guys said, you're in this like Thunderdome where you're surrounded by cypress, and I did learn one thing, that because it was so dry, there's not normally the amount of wildflowers that were out there that you see more now. And that was something beautiful. That's what I was cutting it like, oh, would you look at this? I mean, the flowers were gorgeous. So it did seem like two separate courses. It was running through the pines and then running through the cypress, and that's another thing, that single track trail on the second part of it as you're heading towards Dupuy gets so twisty that really slows you down. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you really can't get moving there because the turns are so tight, and it also makes it pretty, of course, but that was another thing. And then of course the hogs rooting through the soil and slow you down as well. But I thought that was like, my impression of the course was like, you know, the pine needles and the wider trails, and then that really narrow single track trail through the cypress.
Yeah, because eventually y'all make it to 20 miles, which, you know, for you guys, you know, you're two-thirds of the way in-ish.
Yeah,
you know, pretty much. You know, how did those miles go down?
Once we get to 18, you get to the power lines at Corbett. The power lines at Dupuy. You know, at 15 miles, it's good. It's because you know that's as far as you're going. And, you see Jeff and Andrea were there, and Mike Straczynski. And, of course, we're all joking around with them. And they were very, very encouraging. And then we had a very, very quick turn. And then we went back. And for me, that section between that and the grade road passed so fast. You know, we got through there. I know we saw the alligator. I know I was telling Brenda about the characters that used to come to the race and hang out. And We passed by where Ernie Bambauer would set up his aid station, and it was, you know, it was a lot of fun. We had a good time on that track, and you know, we were still in great spirits. I wasn't in bad spirits the entire day. I had a really good day, and I guess my nutrition was right. I was running with some pretty good company, and you know, I felt really good. So I thought the miles really just kind of clicked and just went by very fast.
I agree. And those aid stations, I mean, of course, seeing everybody out there, it's like seeing old friends, you know, seeing family. It's like, it's so great. And really kind of, you know, you're in a great mood and it kind of rejuvenates you. So like that, you know, I think definitely that last 9 miles to the finish would definitely the hardest because mm-hmm. it's definitely the hottest. And mm-hmm. there is no, at that point, I agree with Mark, that point from the power lines in Dupuy to that grade road aid station, that went quickly. And it is amazing how different the course looks going the opposite direction and the different time of day.
Yeah.
It looked like a completely different course to me, but that was great. They refilled our bladders. The volunteers were just amazing. I mean, everybody there, and Mark's daughters were there. Daughter was there, and Alberto and the DTR crew was there. And just everybody was helping out to get you back on the trail, giving you what you needed. But I actually, this may be a tip for somebody doing this next year. I thought that I was like, oh boy, I'm overloaded. I only have 9 miles to go. I have a full bladder of water, and then I have Heed in my 20-ounce handheld. I'm feeling very heavy. I think I grabbed too much. You know, that last portion of the course, you know, you cannot have enough fluid.
Yeah. No, so, it's true. Yeah, I agree.
Got hot really fast there.
Yep.
Yeah. I did feel that. I was laughing, thinking that I was almost going to release a little bit, you know, out. There's like, you know, I definitely have too much here, too much fluid. But I used every bit of it, and definitely, of course, took enough salt and gels to get me through that last portion. But definitely, before you head back that last 9 miles, you need as much fluid as possible, because that was no, there was no shade.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really changes quick, you know, cause the morning was really cool.
Oh, yeah.
I thought, I mean, it's still super humid, but it was definitely cool. And, I did the same thing, you know, on the way back there, I stopped and, I think Andre and Ludi, I even filled up my ice bandana, you know, which sometimes that, you know, that close near the end, you're like, I'll just, you know, leave the bandana. I don't really need that. You know, I'll get some water and go. But about, I don't know, probably a half a mile after the aid station for me, I cramped up completely. My left, and some of that I think was from kicking, kicking the cypress knees and falling. My left side, my foot and the front of my shin on my left leg completely locked up. And I had to, so mile like, 24, 5, 6, 5, 6, 7, somewhere in there. I walked for like 2.5 miles. And I had like a 18-minute mile, a 17-minute mile, and I was in terrible shape. I ate every single thing that I had as far as electrolytes, drank all my electrolytes, and it finally just subsided, you know. But I had done some calculations as well when I saw you guys on the turnaround, and I was like, man, they're coming quick. I was like, well, those 2.5 miles of walking just ate that up, you know, and you know, when I got back, you know, Brenda wasn't but a few minutes behind me. So it does, boy, you get to that last little section and it gets super, super hot really quick, man. It's a brutal little section, that last nine.
Oh yeah. My gosh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I had a similar problem to Chris where I fell, I kind of like when I came down on my left side and like smashed my hip on the ground really good, which is a weird way to fall for me. I'm not that I'm a professional faller, but I didn't fall. Usually, you know, you fall and you catch yourself or you end up on your belly somehow. But this time I ended up on my side and on my hip, and I popped back right up and I didn't feel any damage. So I was good. But man, once those electrolytes started dropping out, and I was like starting to towards probably the final 3 miles of the race, My hip was so stiff, and I'm like walking along and still in a great mood. I'm sitting there singing a Tom Waits song to myself and just kind of bumbling along the trail. And I would run for a little bit, and then I would stop and I'd walk for two blazes, and I would run for a little bit and walk for two blazes, but you know, just trying to get that hip to loosen up. And it never really did until I saw the little blue blazes, and then I knew I was close. And you know, at that point, all bets are off. You smell the barn, and it's time to go. And so I ran the rest of it in. But yeah, that everybody that is, you know, listening to this and using it as an idea, using some of our mistakes as their ideas to learn from. Definitely take as much fluid as you can from that aid station on that final turn, coming off the grade road, because you are going to need every bit of it. My vest was full, and I came in dry. I was like completely, I think I depleted my vest about a quarter mile before the blue trail started. So I was completely dry and good and thirsty by the time I came in. And definitely the hip was, and the legs were cramping up. So
the last nine, I felt like for me at that point, Mark and I kind of were together most of the way. And, you know, that last portion, he's like, okay, you got to get out there. You need to practice some sighting on, you know, so I took the lead. I only got us, you know, took the wrong turn a couple of times. It's amazing how, you know, the blazers are so clear. And yet, so on the way back, it seemed, I felt my that the blazers were a little easier to follow on the way back to the finish. At one point, you could just see them all kind of lined up. So I would say the course very, very clearly marked with blazes, except for that one area where we all seemed to get lost. We saw it, and Chris was walking, and we missed the turn as well. So we were pretty much together the whole way until that last, I don't know, maybe 6 miles or so. Yeah. And at that point, I got into a little groove, definitely, with kind of sighting, looking. But I did feel that part was definitely, obviously, it was the hottest. And that's where it's like, okay, so now I see what people are talking about with there's no shade. You know, you don't have that coverage like you do out, you know, by the Cypress, by headed towards Dupuy. But I mean, it's very, very, very quiet. And those can be, if you're by yourself and you're hurting, those can be some lonely, scary, you know, miles if you're hurting.
Yeah. Yep.
Because, you know, you don't have encouragement from anybody else. And that can really go a long way, actually, if you have somebody to run with. So that's where it can definitely get tougher for me. I always find that. I'm like, God, it's so quiet, you know, and you're just kind of in your own head, and you're like, just stay focused, keep going, keep moving. But I did feel that this was the hottest parts of the course, obviously, and I was just sucking down that liquid. I could not get over. But otherwise, I mean, I did still feel that it did go quickly because it was so clearly marked. And and you see that once, like the guys were saying, you see that blue blaze, you know, and you can see it in the parking lot. And I'm like, oh gosh, I hope that's the parking lot. And Eddie was good enough to, because I couldn't remember if they said go left or right at that blue place. But once you see it, it's clear. But Eddie was good enough to say, no, make sure you go left. You're right there. And that was pretty exciting. But to finish up, knowing you're so close.
Yeah, it's for me, it was, you know, like I said, I got after the grade road aid station there, I cramped up for, you know, a couple and a half, 3 miles, give or take. And then once it kind of flushed out, I got in the same thing, got into a pretty good groove. And I was hoping to, you know, to get the overall win, to be honest. I had, I did Hungry Land, the half marathon at Hungry Land a couple of weeks prior. And I had a half marathon PR. And then I missed a turn right at the end, and I ended up running an extra three and a half miles, something like that. So I was a little miffed at myself, you know. So for Corbett, for me, I was definitely looking for a little bit of retribution, you know. So once my legs kind of opened back up a little bit, I just kind of got into a slow, steady, consistent run, And, you know, in my mind, if I just kept moving, I felt like I'd finish up fairly strong and get back there pretty well. And, yeah. And it's, you know, that last section, like Brenda said too, that, those last sections there, everything was really well marked. They had obviously done some trail maintenance. You know, I think Leo, you know, race director, has done a really good job of integrating himself and the races that he's taken over, Death at Dupuy and now here Corbett, with the local chapter of the FTA. And they're really, you know, he's been providing some additional volunteer help to get out there for trail maintenance days. And they've really gotten out and done a fantastic job of you know, cleaning up the trails and making sure everything is marked really well, and helping keep everything in really good shape. So kudos to him.
Yes,
for that. I mean, he's really, they've done a great job. So yeah, that last section there, the last 4, 5, 6 miles was, you know, nice and runnable, as far as Corbett is, you know, runnable.
And he has such passion for it too. You know, that whole area, you know, you could just, he loves it and you can see it. And, you know, you can, when you get out there, you kind of understand, like, okay, I get it. You know, why all these people want to be out here every weekend. It's really just a great place to be. Even if you're just hiking, you don't need to be a runner. Just get out there and hike for a mile or two. And it's like, you just, and then, you know, you wouldn't believe that you're, you know, right next to 95 or, you know, but that was really great. I love that race. I can't wait to do that. I'll do that race again next year for sure.
Oh, that last section was, you know, that's the, that's kind of like, you know, the way home. It's, you know, you can, is always, you know, pleasant for me coming into court, you know, just getting in and getting it done. You know, it's just about over. And it is the hottest section. So it's, it can be really, really miserable. But you know, just like the entire race, it is what you make it. And, if you enjoy that sort of challenge and you, enjoy being out there in that beautiful, pristine piece of land, then yeah, you're gonna love it. That last section is beautiful. It's all pines, and even when the lake is there, it's kind of refreshing, you know, to go in there and splash through. Terrifying a little, but you know, refreshing as well. So,
yeah, even with that, you know, like, what was it like to cross the finish line?
Well, let's let Chris go first because he crossed the finish line first.
It was pretty special for me. So, you know, it's I've had a handful of wins in races over the years. And it's, you know, I'm pretty competitive, anyone that knows me. So it's, you know, I put myself out there. But there's also times where, you know, I come out and I just run, and it's, you know, whoever the race director is, you know, hey, are you out to run today, or are you just coming out to enjoy the day? Sometimes I'm out there just to enjoy the day, you know. And for me, it was, like I said, you know, I missed that turn at Hungryland a couple of weeks prior. And I beat myself up about that a little bit. You know, I don't know where I missed the turn. And then I had put together a really good run for a half marathon. I've been kind of, I reset this, this, you know, end of winter and spring with just some short stuff, a 5K, a 10K, the half marathon there. And I was running with Allison Murray Duarte Murray.
Yep.
And man, she was trying to bury me, and I held in there. She's as good as they come. And so I was super, super happy that I had put together that run. That's what I was looking to do. You know, I had dropped down from the 100. Mike, you know, I told Mikey B I just wanted to do the half because that's where my headspace was. And so coming into Corbett, I was pretty fired up for it, really. And my fitness level is really good right now. And I was looking to, I went post to post. You know, when Leo started the race, I jumped right behind him. You know, as far as the 50Kers go, that was it for me. So for me, when I can put together a true run where I'm accomplishing what I set out to accomplish. So it doesn't matter where I finish. So if I finish, you know, 15th, but I put out an honest effort and I ran what I was trying to run. That's what's most important to me. And, you know, your rankings are arbitrary. There's always going to be someone that's faster than you are. There's always going to be someone that's, stronger than you are, tougher than you are. On any given day, anyone be that person. And only one person can be that person. And, but, you know, for me, as long as I'm being true to myself and the contribution that I've set out to actually accomplish is getting there. You know, the other thing for me is, you know, the end of last year was kind of a tough year for me. You know, I lost my stepfather and we lost my cousin. And it was, the last 6 months of the year, I just kind of let myself just do my thing. As far as all that went, you know, I wasn't really working out. My diet turned to crap. And so the beginning of the year, I kind of had to, you know, I read a whole bunch of books on, grief and religion and, all of it. And finally came into this year realizing that just sitting around on the couch eating brownies wasn't really a very healthy way to go about it for me. So I kind of turned that around and just I didn't feel like running long. So the shorter races were really appealing to me. And so to put a really good effort into Corbett, to have some issues in the middle where, you know, I did cramp up terribly. And I thought I was going to have to walk out the entire thing. And I did everything that I had done in the past that I knew I was supposed to do, take in everything that I could possibly take in for electrolytes and, you know, get everything there and just walk it out the best you can. And, it'll usually flush itself out and then continue on, you know, don't give up and push through to the end, and still enjoy it, man. I had a really good, enjoyable day, other than falling a couple of times, but, and the whole experience was very positive for me. So when I finished, and Leo's there, who I've known forever, Jeff was there, and Andrea, people that really good people that I consider friends, that I've been doing a lot of running with forever. You know, Jeff has, always been the band leader to try to get us to push ourselves and take on these challenges, you know, and I love him to death. Those guys were all there. So it's always special when you have those days where you're true to yourself. And you've set some goals and you've accomplished them, and you've enjoyed yourself along the way. So, and that's really, you know, for me, what the whole trail running thing is all about.
That's nice, Chris.
Yeah.
And Chris, I hope you don't mind me saying so. Like, I saw your splits for Hungryland, and I was thinking to myself, like, wow, you really look like you're in shape. You're super fit. I mean, you were doing mid sevens, low sevens for that half marathon. That was bruising on that terrain. So I knew going into this, I'm like, well, that's got to be the guy that's going to be out in front, for sure. And you were, and you look great out there.
Yeah. So, well, thanks. Yeah. It's, like I said, it really, Allison was the one that kind of set that whole thing off. You know, she started out running like sub sevens for like the first, I don't know, 3 or 4 miles.
That's unbelievable.
And I was like, just keep up with her. She's got to slow down eventually. Just keep up with her. You got to slow down eventually.
Yeah.
And she doesn't carry any water for those shorter races. And so we got out to that outer aid station there just before the turnaround, and she slowed down to drink. And I just kept going. And but Corbett was, I felt just as good going into Corbett, you know, and, like I said, I've just been kind of doing some shorter stuff and enjoying that. You know, I have zero inclination to run a 100-mile race at all. I'm like, lollipop? Yeah, no, maybe next year.
But that's kind of fun too. Like the sharpening, you know, the running the long, slow miles. I mean, I felt like that was last year with training for the Ridge, which was incredible, but that was all that sand running and being okay with running, hey, you know, 10, 11 minute miles, you know, all summer. Yeah, that's tough. So it is nice to change it up and quicken your pace. That's for sure. I agree with you there.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I felt the same way coming in. I knew at the aid station, they said that you were up there, and I didn't know how close or how far away you were. And at that point, we left together, and I just kind of, at that point, I think I was getting tired, because you know when I'm tired when I stop talking. Then I'm tired, and kind of just focused and said, okay, let's just keep on moving. My pace slowed, but, you know, it's to be expected in that heat. And it was just some really quiet, focused miles. And just and at that point, I'm happy to say that I don't think I missed a turn. I didn't fall. I came close, which kind of hurt just as much, just from like holding yourself back from falling. That can tense up your muscles. But I think I saw Christina Parmalee out there walking. She was just doing her thing. She looked good. And just coming in that final stretch, it was just so peaceful. And like I said, you know, I saw a few deer right out on the course. And it was just that special moment that only you have, you know, to yourself. And, you know, as quick as they jump on, they're out of there.
Are you kidding me?
And I'm like, wow, I just had that moment. And you know what? I don't have my camera. I didn't take a picture of it, but it happened. And, you know, and it's special to me. And then of course those final miles for me, I kind of always make a joke, you know, a bit of a drama queen for every finish, you know, and friends always say, oh, here comes the waterworks. And, I do it. Every finish is very emotional for me. It seems I'm usually thinking about Garrett, those last miles. I don't know what it is with ultra, but every big race that I've done, I've had an experience with whoever I'm running with, whether it's Amy Ray or it was Mark, or we're talking about something, or all of a sudden it's something that reminds me very much of Garrett, something he would say or something that he would like or think was funny or something. And I'm like, gosh, he's really out here with me. And so by tonight, you know, I make it to the finish line. I'm emotional at that point. And of course, you know, Leo is a friend, and it's so wonderful to, you know, cross the finish line for a, you know, a marathon with thousands of people. You know, nobody knows who you are, but at these races, you have a friend standing there who also happens to be the race director, gives you a big hug. And it doesn't matter how smelly or stinky wet you are. But he's there to say congratulations. And it's like these people that are there waiting for you. They're all your friends. They know your story. So it makes it even more special because they kind of know what you've done, you know, how hard you've worked. Same thing last year with Mikey B at the Ridge. That man knew that I put like my heart and soul into that race. Everything I had all summer long was for the Ridge, and I wanted it more than anything. And to have him there at the finish line, that was everything. And the same thing with Leo. It's the same thing with Andy at Long Haul. I mean, all these wonderful people, they just know and see how hard you're working towards this thing, this, you know, this fun, getting to the finish line. And you're right, Chris. That's the only thing that really matters. I mean, I could care less what my pace is. I mean, of course, we all love to look at the data and our pace, and we're competitive. But really, when it comes down to it, it is that journey to get there. Yep. And it's, you know, it moves you. And that's why I'm always crying at every finish line, ridiculously. But yeah, it's always, that was really, really special. And kudos to Leo for putting on a great race. He did a great job.
Yeah, he definitely has taken the reins on this one really well. And for me, you know, coming into that finish, you know, I've made that left turn on the Blue Trail a number of times to know where I'm at. And so you kind of get that whole, you know, smell the barn coming in kind of deal. And then, I knew I was going to see Leo there. I didn't expect to see Jeff and Andrea back so quick, from, I guess, breaking down the aid station. But, you know, Jeff is the pusher who changed this, you know, I was going for sub three marathons. I was a triathlete. I thought I was hot shit. And Jeff turns around and says, "Hey, buddy, you want to run a trail?" And,
you know, sent me totally an email. The gateway drug.
Yeah, sent me an email to Lake to Ocean, which, you know, I show up in a pair of Saucony Convera street shoes, and no lube on my feet, no protection whatsoever. I lost all the skin on the bottom of my feet. You know, so, and then, so there he is, you know, I come running in and I'm having a great race. And of course it's great to see, like Brenda was saying, it's, you know, you're seeing your extended family, really, you know, and it's wonderful, to do that. And, you know, for me too, it was special because, you know, my daughter, she's a 15-year-old kid, and, the last thing a 15-year-old kid wants to do is go spend a hot morning out, you know, filling up sweaty runner packs and you know, cheering on the old man. So I finish and I finally get over to my phone. And like Brenda was saying about breaking down, I held it together through Leo's hug, even though it was special. So I enjoyed the finish. How's that? Before I get swept away again here.
I enjoyed the finish.
Anyway.
Oh, and the awards were great too. Those were beautiful. I don't know where he has those done, but and the new Jeff did the designs, I guess, for the t-shirt. The new, he is so creative, by the way. My gosh, just how talented is this man? But those were really cool. I cherish those.
Oh yeah, those were cool.
Yeah, I was wearing that shirt all week. It's like, that's kind of terrifying. I don't know what that is.
Some kind of swamp man type thing.
Yeah.
The first Corbett guy looked a lot like this guy from Melbourne, Matt Mahoney. So Chris knows Matt, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So the first guy looked a lot. We always laughed because it was like, I don't know who drew the first design, but everybody was like, "Holy crap, that's Matt Mahoney!" and this time they made it like a little more Jack Nicholson like, which is it's definitely a creepier looking face.
Yeah,
but it fits. Sure. I mean, there's a great picture. I don't know. I'm sure Jeff has it someplace. Jeff Stevens is like out there. He's not in the lake part of Corbett. He's like on one of the trails and he's literally floating with his feet in the air. and that's another great Corbett picture too. Another iconic Corbett image. It's awesome.
So I guess, you know, we can start wrapping it up with, you know, what was the good, the bad, and the ugly out there for the JW Corbett?
The good of course is always seeing, these people, they're always seeing, like, you know, I love seeing Chris at any race. He's an awesome dude. And, you know, Eddie and all these other guys that, you know, they really just good members of the community. And, you know, being with your people, for me, that's the good part of it all.
I agree with that. It's definitely the community, the people that are there.
The bad, well, there's really not a lot of bad. Well, I guess the heat, the flies, and the cypress knees. That's it. Yeah. you know, which can also be the ugly if you really think about it. But, you know, I don't know. You know, as far as like wearing mud goes, Brenda, she rocked it, man. That wasn't like she just like it worked for her. Dirt
well,
works.
Yeah, I was. I couldn't leave there without some part of me getting some of that trail on me. If it wasn't going to be wet, I'll take the mud. That's fine.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I would say the same thing. I can't say, of course, that it was challenging and really hard and it did beat you up, and the heat in those last nine miles, without a doubt, were tough. But I can't say any of it was really ugly except for my falls, which were, you know, pretty. I did not fall well. Let's just say that.
You know, come on. You fell very gracefully. You did great.
I don't know. What am I doing? I'm 50 years old. I'm like out here, like lying in mud. I have to really think about what I'm doing in my life. But then in the same way,
I did say to Mark, you know, just a few minutes later, I'm like, this is so great. Here we are. You know, we're all like, you know, over 50. We're running around the woods, laughing and giggling, having a great time, you know, with our friends. I mean, it's not a lot different than what I was doing at 12 years old.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it, right?
That's exactly yeah. it.
Totally it.
Absolutely. So
that's it. Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's wild. It's really living that rough life, you know, just kind of living on the edge, you know, and I can't imagine doing anything else. I mean, it's just too much fun. So, I mean, I can't think, the only thing that I would think is ugly is to do that turnaround. Once you get to the 50K, what it takes to get back out there and do another 20 miles, whoever can do that, that is just amazing to me. So that's definitely would be probably the toughest part of that challenge, but
yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree with pretty much all of that. You know, it was a great group of people like there usually is at Corbett. For me, it was a, you know, it was a good day of running, you know, had a pretty good outing, you know, getting through the cramps. I think that would be the bad for me. I've had some existing cramping issues, you know, at the Miami 50-50 last year, Joey Lichter and I were running and I got completely locked up again. And so there's been a few races where I've had, I think when I run faster, I forget that I'm supposed to take in electrolytes. So that's something that I'm still, after all these years, working on. So that would be the bad for me and the ugly, you know, trying to get through that. But, you know, overall, it was a really, from trail conditions being nice to the morning being cool, I really didn't get eaten up by the flies. I think maybe I got, I don't know, maybe two or three horsefly bites, which is pretty minimal out there. Mm-hmm. All in all, it was a pretty stellar day for me.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. Well, hey, y'all, this was awesome.
Thanks for having us.
This was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Thanks for having us on, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
We made it. We finally got this one in.
Man, I don't know if I was going to make it. I'm like holding my breath over here. Am I going to die? All right, you guys. Good talking to y'all.
So great. Yes, I have to go see. My children made dinner, so we will see what is waiting. Actually, they brought in a little bit. I may have to I could get used to this.
All right, guys.
Yes, have a great night, everyone. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you down the line.
Yeah, bye, Chris. Bye, Mark.
Bye.
Bye.
And there we have it for episode 98 of the Florida Trail Runners Podcast. Stories from the J.W. Corbett. And I'm telling you, you know, this area of Florida where this race is at, man, I love it, man. That area is, it's so nice, it's pretty. And for stuff like Corbett, Dupuy, and that lake to ocean, ocean to lake, that whole area, oh, it's one of my favorite areas in the state of Florida. I love it out there. And hey, until next time, happy trails.